Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 1, we were talking about pastors and church leaders who think we need to think outside the box. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say today. There is no box, but for some reason or another, there are those that have taken a business model, and they've tried to make it a church, a local church model, which that's from outside the Bible. And so when you get things from outside the Bible and you try to bring it into the church as an operating procedure, you're going to get the flesh, you're going to get error, and Satan is going to have a field day. But if we give it the box, what is the box they're talking about for us? Well, that's simple. It's the Bible box. And so they're telling us to think outside the Bible box. Well, if they put us in a box, that must mean they're in a box. Ours is the box. Of course, it is the box, because they said think outside the box, and the box is the Bible. But their box, then, is also there, but boy, it's much larger than our box. Oh, much, much larger than our box. Because their box, represented in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. As a matter of fact, you might say there's a contrast between the two boxes. Theirs is the box that is wide, and it leads unto destruction. Our box is straight and narrow, but it leads unto life. And so, if you think people should think out of the box that leads to life, instead they ought to think inside the box that leads to destruction, they'll have a good time. You know, you can have a large, large gathering place for a religion. There are some churches and some religions that have buildings that will hold literally thousands of people. But you see, it's not the size of the building, nor is it the number of the people. I go back to Ezekiel, chapters 8 through 10, where we see the glory of God departing from the temple. Now, you can have as many people coming and even more. But when the glory of God departs, when His Spirit goes off, the people may be rejoicing and having a good time over the happenings in their life. But understand, judgment begins at the house of God, and it will come. God is long-suffering. And he hopes that the church would repent, that believers would repent. But at a time when they don't, then his hand will move, and it will move swiftly without delay. So, again, we're just kind of reviewing here a little bit. And people today are more into what works instead of what is scriptural. In Israel, they had lost their oneness. Back in Rehoboam's day, we find that the kingdom was divided. And so Israel was divided as a nation because of the backsliding of King Solomon. Oh, he was the wisest man in the world in worldly wisdom. But that worldly wisdom split the kingdom in a bad way. Because the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And he did not follow God's wisdom. as he got nearer the end of his life. Now, we find that the northern kingdom, when the king split, was made up of 10 nations, and the northern kingdom did have some kings who may have tried to call on the Lord or stopped certain things they were doing before the judgment hit them. But really, not any of them turned to the Lord with their whole heart. None of the northern kings. As a matter of fact, in many cases, they turned unto other gods. Although they kept a form of their Jewish religion. Now, in the text here today, in Joel chapter 1, the land has been devastated, and that's to say the least. The crops, when ready to be harvested, were completely devoured by locusts, and it affects the worship, the animals, all men, and the economy. Now, at times, the life of a Christian will encounter fiery trials for a season. Not a moment, a season. The trials will at times be tragic and monumental. And we begin to wonder, why? Why is this happening? We look for secondary causes. But remember, the great first cause is God. These things are sent upon us, are allowed for moral and especially spiritual purposes. They are heaven-sent messages calling upon us to repent. You know, when a country is facing an election time and you're in a democracy, and I prefer to say a free republic is what America is supposed to be and was organized to be. But you have an opportunity to vote. And I allow the Bible to be a guide for me in how to vote. For an example, I'll try to find out how does a candidate stand on Israel. The Bible says he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. So the stronger candidate on the nation of Israel that is for them, that is for the Jew, that's a candidate that I have a tendency to want to vote for. And then I look at the moral aspects. Are they pro-life? Or are they pro-death by either euthanasia or abortion? I also look at, are they pro-creationist or are they pro-evolutionist and therefore they favor homosexual marriage, they favor gender-neutral bathrooms and things of that nature? Well, I'm not going to vote for them because that is so inconsistent with the teaching of the Word of God, and that is to spit in the face of God, who allowed us to have the great nation that we have. And so we go on in different things of that nature. Now, sometimes people say, well, we're not electing our pastor. And I agree that whether it's president, governor, mayor, or what have you. But I'm not going to try to elect the most perverted spiritual and moral individual that I can. It's not going to be the pocketbook that determines the vote. It should be the Bible. And my friend, let me say this to you and say it very clearly. In any election, whether it's in America, on a national level, state, or the local level, whatever, when there's an election, your prayer should be, God, don't give us what we deserve. Give us what we need. And I hope that that is your prayer. And you'll see God's face in this matter. Instead of having already a predetermined thought of how you're going to vote, and then you try to justify all that's evil. Instead, ask God to show you how to vote. He's given us that responsibility. He's given us this country, and he's given us responsibility to make our voice heard in this country in that matter. And so I encourage Christians to vote. And again, I hope that you will take that advice and that wisdom from the Word of God. It's not my wisdom, it's God's wisdom, but it's nonetheless the wisdom of God. Now, so often, when God does judge, when he does send trials, and he may be calling us to repent, people respond in one of two ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, we read this. Now I rejoice, I like that, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. That not what happened with Judas? Oh, he was so sorry, threw the 30 pieces of silver on the floor there at the temple and went out and hung himself. Many came to the defense of the Duck Dynasty stalwart, Phil Robertson. Now, Phil Robertson and I would not see eye to eye on biblical things, that's for sure. And maybe even some other areas of morality and demeanor and things of that nature. But he was attacked for his stand on homosexuality as a sin, and I agree with him. It is a vile, rotten sin. I believe that that's what the Bible teaches. And if that's what the Bible teaches, and it does, then that's what it is. Well, the world got as mad as some Christians get when we preachers hit sin and tell it as it is to men as they are. When we hit the sin of contemporary worship and music, when we hit the sin of immodesty and women dressing like the harlot dresses, when we hit the sin of gambling, for example, the lottery, when we hit the sin of adultery, when we hit the sin of a lack of faithfulness to God's house. You say, wait a minute, you said all those bad things and then you put that in there? You know, James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, is it good to be faithful to God's house, as Hebrews 10:24-25 command us to do? Then you know that it's good to do that. You can do it and you don't. What is it? That's right. It is sin.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my